Good morning. The time is 9:06. Currently sunny skies, but the wind has started to kick up here in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 36 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the second hour of the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, looks beautiful out there. See that sunshine coming through the windows of our studio here on the corner of North 3rd Street and Washington Street in downtown Wausau. But as I said, see the leaves and the trees blowing just a little bit. It's going to be a breezy day. What can we expect for today as we get to the weekend? Well, to find out, we're joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucheski. And Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's a beautiful start here in central Wisconsin. See all this sunshine. Yesterday was just overcast all day long, some light rain throughout the day, but it just feels better here to start off this day. But as I said, I see the leaves are blowing pretty hard. It's going to be a breezy day as well, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, we're looking at a cold front coming into the area. So temperature-wise, actually today it's going to be pretty average, right where we should be for this time of the year. Mostly sunny skies today with a high into the mid-40s, and like you said, pretty breezy. Winds at times gusting as high as about 45 miles per hour. And then for tonight, it does look like a slight chance for an isolated area for some drizzle mixing with flurries at times and a slight chance for snow in the overnight hours. Not amounting to too much overall, but definitely something to still keep in mind. Cloudy skies, overnight lows right around about 29. For your day on Friday, a little cooler tomorrow, actually. We'll see mostly cloudy skies, high 40 degrees, 40 again to start off the weekend on Saturday for Veterans Day with sunny sky conditions. Warming up a little bit here for your day on Sunday, slightly above average as a warm front comes through. Partial sunshine develops and a high around 47. Monday, mostly sunny, high around 47.
It does look like, though, as we get into next week, that we're going to get a bit of a warm trend, aren't we?
It does. It does look like by Tuesday and then Wednesday, we'll see temperatures into the 50s.
All right. Something to look forward to. Thanks again for the information. We'll enjoy the sunshine today and try not to get blown away. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Sounds great.
That's our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucheski from weatherology.com. Again, we get a chance to talk to her each and every weekday at the start of the second hour here on the program on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. But right now, lots of sun, a bit of wind, temperature of 36 degrees in Wausau. The winds right now are out of the west at 15 miles per hour, so it's actually going to get much more breezy, even though I do see those trees blowing rather briskly right outside the windows here at our studios. The dew point is 29, relative humidity of 74%. The barometer stands at 29.93 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 9:09 here on this Thursday morning. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be talking to Wausau East outstanding athlete, Caden Worth. Again, all-conference this past season in high school football. He's getting set to start off practice next Monday for the high school basketball season at East, and also a member of the Wausau East baseball team. So we'll talk to Caden Worth coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Also, would like to say hello once again to our producer, Ian Welsh.
Morning, Chad.
Good morning, Ian. And again, big Thursday for you. You're getting that voice ready to roll. I'm not going to ask you. I was thinking about making you sing here this morning, but I'm not going to do that. That would just be wrong, in so many ways. But you're going to get set to use that voice later on tonight. And for folks who are tuned in, it actually sounds like it might be something worth considering this evening.
Absolutely. It's at the Whitewater Music Hall. It's a Broadway karaoke night. They usually do this like every month, and it's become very popular over the last couple of times.
How does it work in terms of, do you have to sign up for this?
You can, the actual event starts at 7, and the sign-up is at 6:30. You can sign up you can do a solo or a duet, and some people do a large group number, and those are always fun to watch. It doesn't matter of what you sing, as long as you sing, and there's also a drinks, and the event is free, but there is a cash bar also, and there's wine, there's hot cocoa, there's apple cider.
Very good.
Oh, it should be a really fun night.
Absolutely. So again, you enjoy it. Hopefully other folks get out there and enjoy it as well at Whitewater Music Hall. Before we continue, I have an interesting story that I came across on the Gannett newspapers here in Wisconsin. Of course, Wausau Daily Herald is a Gannett paper, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Gannett paper, throughout the state of Wisconsin. And there was an opinion piece put forth by the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Don Millis. And it's very interesting, and I think it's very pertinent. And he basically is calling out the Journal Sentinel for running a paid ad that they know is false. And in fact, it's basically lies against Megan Wolf. And Don Millis says that major Milwaukee media outlets, including the Journal Sentinel, running paid advertisements with claims that are demonstrably false. And right at the start of this piece in the Journal Sentinel, there's an editor's note. It says, the newsroom and advertising departments at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel operate independently. The Journal Sentinel published a PolitiFact Wisconsin story October 4th, detailing that the impeachment articles against Megan Wolf are riddled with false and misleading claims. A November 2nd story on the $100,000 ad buy noted the false claims made in the spots. I will have more on that disclaimer in a moment. But according to the article, again, from the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Don Millis, he talks about a statement that Democratic strategist James Carville once said, drag a $100 bill through a trailer park, you never know what you'll find. And it's so true, because something that worries me in our media climate these days is the fact that if you're able to make money on something that is demonstrably bad for our country, will those media corporations have the will to say, nope, we're not going to take that money? And I don't think that is the case. I think they're going to take the money. And I think that when you look at a story like Donald Trump, according to the news folks, he gets people on the left really mad. He gets people on the right very excited, so this leads to bigger viewership and bigger profits. Well, you have here in a situation where this group is making an ad buy, a $100,000 ad buy to spread lies about the Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf urging legislators to impeach her. And according to the article, there's a difference between those who think that she should be removed and those who are a grifter. And a grifter basically just using this as a way to make money. And he says that there are many uninformed folks who honestly believe the lies. But he says, my ire is safe for those who know the truth yet perpetuate lies for profit. And it could be the people that are buying the ads, but also the people that receive the money. And he says, now major Milwaukee media outlets, including TV and radio stations and the Journal Sentinel, have joined the ranks of the grifters, perpetuating lies about Wolf for profit. These outlets are running paid advertisements with claims that are demonstrably false. And in the case of the Journal Sentinel, it's running an ad it knows it's false. Exactly. I mean, the Journal Sentinel knows it's false, and yet they take the money. And that disclaimer at the start of the story saying that the advertising department and the newsroom are separate, that's not an excuse. At a certain point, there is somebody, and it's usually the executive editor, that would make the decision that we cannot accept this because it's false. And if a newspaper is printing falsities, whether it's within the confines of their journalism or within the confines of their advertising space, they're still false. They're still wrong. They're still promoting lies to the public. And how can you ask for trust when you are perpetuating lies to the public? So, and that's, again, gets to the back to the original point. It's not just in this case where there's an ad buy that spends a little money on TV stations and newspapers in Wisconsin. Think about the big picture. Think about CNN. Think about MSNBC. Think about Fox News. Think about CBS News, ABC News. Again, you have this back and forth pull about profits, because back in the day, and I'm going to sound like the old man again yelling at the clouds, but back in the day when it was the Huntley-Brinkley Report and the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite, the news divisions were not seen as profit centers. And I've talked about this in the past as well, that part of the responsibility of any radio station or any broadcast entity is you get your license, you have to show where you are doing things for the public. We have what's called a public inspection file where you have to list issues and topics and things that you do that are in the public interest. And it used to be where news was thought of as in the public interest. But now it's all as part of the profit centers. In fact, many of the networks, and I'm talking not just about the cable news networks, but the networks themselves, most of their profits come from their news division or from their late night programs, not from their prime time programs. So there is a profit aspect to everything that is covered. There's a profit aspect to talking about polls all the time. There is a profit aspect about talking about Donald Trump. And that is worrisome. And that's why I asked in the last hour when we started our conversation with Pat Kreitlow about what have we learned in the years between the 2016 election and the 2020 election going into 2024. It's not easy for these entities where they are basically on their knees to their stockholders. They have to show that they're profitable for their stockholders, which is disgusting. But this, again, if you have a chance to read in one of the Gannett newspapers this op-ed article, I think it's very enlightening about how there is such a major problem right now with the profit needs of media compared to the truth that we expect from our news sources. Again, Don Millis, chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, I think a very interesting op-ed piece in Gannett newspapers this morning. The time is 9:18. Coming up, we will talk to, again, Wausau East multi-sport athlete, very impressive young man, as we continue here this morning. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. You can't always get it at all. Just because there's space in your life, it's a waste. Just feel it. And you feel it. And you feel it. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:20, 36 degrees, sunny skies in downtown Wausau. And every Wednesday evening, after I'm done with this show, I come back from 6 until 8 p.m. for the big high school sports show here on Bull Falls Radio, 2 hours of high school sports talk. And last night, had a great conversation with Caden Worth, Wausau East High School senior, member of the football team, member of the boys basketball team, member of the baseball team. And again, one of the great aspects of this job is being able to talk to these student athletes and be able to share a little bit about who they are and really the positive aspects of so many of our young people here in Central Wisconsin. And last night, myself and my co-host Jason Foster had a chance to talk to Caden Worth, and here's part of that conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and love the multi-sport guys. And you are a guy that from the fall right through the spring, you're involved in athletics at Wausau East. For the folks out there, what varsity sports are you involved in?
I play basketball, football, and then baseball.
We will not ask you yet what your favorite sport is, but I guess to start off, let's talk about football, because it was a special year for Wausau East, because after 2 years of not playing 11-player varsity football, the Lumberjacks were back, and you were able to get off to a fantastic start to win that opener and win for the first time in quite a while and play very competitive football during the course of the season. As you look back at the entire journey to get through obviously very difficult times where you didn't have the opportunity to play varsity football in the VFA the last couple of years, to what you and your teammates were able to accomplish this season, how would you describe it? I mean, it's something that very few student athletes have to go through. I mean, it's been quite a roller coaster the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's like no other. I mean, the kids, like this group of seniors especially, like they're the main part of this transition that YC's football has taken, going from 8-man to no team, well, JV, and then straight into the VFA. Very, very tough conference in the state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't heard about that, and I don't know. So, I mean, no, it was definitely a team, like a big team effort and a community goal that East did a fantastic job on fulfilling.
So, obviously, there's a huge football component, right? The X's and the O's and the strength and conditioning to get back to the point to be competing at that level. What were the things that people probably don't know about? Like, what did you and your teammates, your other senior teammates, and then the younger guys who had to fill in those other roles, what were the things that happened that got you ready for this season and got everybody on the same page and heading in the right direction? Like, what were the things off the field that mattered the most?
Yeah, for sure. Start of summer is just the lifting aspect, and then going right in the gym and doing that 7-on-7 competitive against each other. I mean, the competitive aspect of that is fun, just seniors, juniors matched up against each other, friends on friends. But I don't know, I mean, little film sessions, like we were watching film in June on teams and watching last year's JV film, seeing what we can get better on. And yeah, I mean, Coach Kramer did a great job on getting this team prepared. And obviously with Coach Garrett coming in from basketball to being a football coach, I mean, that cannot be easy, coaching two varsity sports. I mean, he does a great job, though. And then this new staff with Coach Kramer's brother, Coach Nate, and then Coach Kong, Coach Wilson, Coach Marcourt. I know I'm forgetting somebody. Coach Shallow. I mean, Coach Schmidt. There you go. But, no, it was awesome. I mean, yeah, just everybody on the same page all throughout the summer and then coming into the school. It was great.
And you've kind of touched on it, but if you have anything else with that too, I mean, that was probably one of the other special pieces of this. It wasn't like an existing coaching staff who'd been there a long time who went through this and rebuilt it. The coaching staff kind of went through it and enjoyed the emotional ups and downs and the heartache of the process of doing it, right? Because just about everybody is kind of just like the team was, being brand new to competing in this conference, like the coaches were too, right? So what role did that play in your success or coming together?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely new. Like, seeing Coach Nate looks just like Coach Kramer. So, I mean, that's funny. But I don't know. I mean, most of them all played for East at one point. So all of a lot of just sports knowledge and know the game of football.
Have
so,
that pride and tradition of wanting that.
So they wanted it just as much as we did, probably even a little bit more. But I mean, it was just awesome. It was awesome knowing them from other sports, multiple sport coaches. That's so cool. And then being all on the same page it helped us a ton.
I had Coach Kramer on the program the first week before your first game. And, you know, and to be honest with you, you know, with East coming back, the first thought is, well, will the Jacks be able to get through the season? Because obviously it's been difficult. But he sat here and was so confident going into that first game. Did that confidence seep into the team? And was that a big factor in your team being able to go right out there and make a big statement in week one?
No, yeah, we knew Lakeland was going to be a tough team, playoff team. But, I mean, I think we all thought we were going to win. We all have that mentality of, I mean, we don't see us losing. And, oh, I forgot the number, but it was like 14-something is how many days, 1,400-something days until we've won a varsity game.
Right.
So we had that written on the board. Some of us wrote it on ourselves. We were so hyped for that game. I think all that energy just took us into that game, so ready to go, and came out with the W. It was awesome.
What was the bus trip back home like? Because obviously, as you said, a long time coming, a lot of work, a lot of heartbreak. I mean, when you don't get a chance to compete every Friday night last season, not to be able to compete in a log game, and then to come back, and in that night to be able to go up there and then come home on that bus with you and your teammates and your coaches victorious in impressive fashion. What was that bus trip like?
No, it was sweet. I mean, knowing we just beat all expectations on getting a win this year, I mean, it was awesome. We had kids up in the front freestyling, like rapping and stuff. We had kids sleeping, but it was just all around like fun bus ride, enjoyable. We're all with each other. Coaches were getting hype with us. I mean, it was cool.
So and we're going to talk about a lot of different stuff here, but kind of maybe tying the bow a little bit on the football season is I'm a huge proponent of when you look back over your shoulder after that last game of the season, and in football, it's if you make the playoffs, it's a loss. Otherwise it's win, whatever. So I'm a really big believer in your ability to look back over your shoulder and see where you were when you started as a boy, right? A freshman boy football player, and where you are as a 17 or 18 year old senior. And Wausau East can probably speak to it a lot more than just about anybody else or anybody else who's been in that situation of the ups and downs and change. What did you learn as a human being? What did you learn as a young man that you will take away from this four-year experience, this four-year ride, that you think will have the most impact in who you are as a man moving forward, as whatever it ends up being next, a college student, a boss, a husband, a father? What will you take with you from this experience that was the most meaningful?
I mean, teamwork and working through adversity. I mean, I wrote my college essay on our whole four-year journey, but I mean, just really seeing how our senior group was able to get through that adversity, get through everything everybody was saying, and just keep going. I mean, we were so easy to just quit. Like, we had kids quit, mm-hmm. but we were lucky to also get some kids to join and come on the ride with us and be a part of it. But no, what we did was something special. We all took away with like the ability of coming out as a family and like the brotherhood aspect of Wausau East. It's awesome. Like, yeah, it's sweet.
More with Wausau East senior Caden Wirth coming up here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Back with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, talking to a very interesting young man, Caden Wirth, who is the Wausau East High School senior, part of their football team, boys basketball, and baseball squads. He was a guest with Jason Foster and myself last night on the Big High School Sports Show, and continuing our discussion with Caden. One other point about football before we turn our attention to the hardwood. I thought it was a special log game this year, the last one. And you had the opportunity to make a big play and to be able to return a kick for a touchdown. And I was up in the booth. And to see you going down the field and all those students, your friends, your classmates, they're all in white, I think, that night, if I'm not mistaken, to see them be able to cheer and to have that release in terms of, you know, for East to be back in the log game and for you to make that big play. I imagine that was one of the highlights for this season.
No, I mean, that was awesome. Seeing the part for me was the student section was crazy, but then the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders on the little bleachers behind the touchdown. I remember them chanting my name even when we were down by 30 or something. I gave them a point, and I was like, "Yeah, we did it. Here we are. We're back in this." It was just an awesome experience.
Fantastic. Well, not much rest for the weary. Get to get ready now as basketball practice will start next week and then get set for the upcoming season. And it looks like from everything I've read that there's some really exciting times for Wausau East boys basketball this year. I guess going into the season, how do you look at your team? What do you see with you and your teammates and your coaches? Because there's a lot of folks who think that Wausau East can make some noise this season.
I mean, yeah, especially our junior group, Jesse Nbogetsik, just a stud basketball player, stud athlete. Jaden Garrett, great court vision, great IQ in the game. And then Charlie Cayley, just a tank. He's always in the weight room, hard to get out. And then our senior group, me, Isaac Rozwadowski, Jack Bartles, and then Brady Brahoda. Just all athletes, all right. Really good. And then 6'6" junior or sophomore Robbie and Julie, he'll be something to watch out for. I mean, our expectations are high, and we're ready to face them. I mean, we got big hopes this year, and we're always in the gym 3 weeks before the season's even started. Like, we're ready to go.
As a senior, when you talk about you, a really good junior class, yep. Talented sophomore out there, but at the same time, you've been through a lot.
Yep.
How do you go about, do you look at yourself as a leader? Do you expect yourself to be a leader, both in terms of what you do between the lines, but also probably just as importantly, in the locker room, in the hallways, on the bench? How do you look at your role as a senior for East?
No, for sure. As being a freshman, being able to have the chance to play varsity basketball, I mean, I was so scared of those bigger guys, but I knew some of them from other sports, so that helped me adjust. But Coach Assert and Coach Garrett have really been pushing me to be more of a leader, whether I'm on the bench or on the court. And yeah, I know I need to take that role in, and I just need everybody to start believing, like students at school in the hallways, and then especially the team. But we don't really have a problem with that, and just keeping everybody high when they're down, and then yeah, just encouraging them to keep doing their thing.
What is the biggest difference for you, having played both sports for 4 years and in different levels and different versions? What is the difference between getting through a long winter 24-game basketball season plus playoffs versus a 9-week, obviously football has more weeks leading up to the games, but one game a week. It's a pretty standard routine, right? Yeah, this is what you do on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Friday you play, you start it all over again. It's the exact same. What are the big differences between competing in a football season and competing in a high school basketball season?
No, yeah, definitely the games. Like, we'll have a game Monday and then Wednesday, Thursday, maybe even a Saturday. But Coach Garrett does an excellent job of getting us prepared, excellent practices. He really strives for like the good practices leading up for a game. He's not very happy when we don't have those good practices, but he's ecstatic when we do have those before games. But no, it's definitely a lot longer and something to adjust to. But like I said, we're all so ready for it, especially my senior class. It's our senior year. We're just ready to go get something.
Again, we're talking to Caden Worth, senior from Wausau East High School, here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We'll get back to the sports in a few minutes, but you're obviously very busy with a lot of sports. But what do you like to do when you try to get away from it? Obviously, I think something I've learned during the show is the kids love being part of the sports, so it's almost like you don't want to get away from it. But at the same time, what else do you enjoy maybe outside of the sports realm?
Yeah, just hanging out with my buddies, like, and a lot of them are my sports teammates. Like, in the summer, especially me and Jack Barthos, we golf every day, if not twice. Like, it's just a great time for me to be around those guys and especially build that bigger relationship with them for the upcoming sports season. So, I mean, yeah, just hanging out with them, it's always fun. Mm-hmm.
What about favorite class when you're over at East? Do you have a favorite class?
Yeah, shout out Ms. Zastro. I like accounting. I love her accounting class.
Guy in sports has to know numbers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As a senior, do you hope to go to college? Do you have any plans for after high school at this point?
Yeah, I don't really know where I'm going to go to college yet, but I'm looking to play football somewhere in college, so doing all that recruiting and stuff, it's been quite a journey.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because it's always interesting because, you know, how much do you reach out to folks maybe for information? How many times do you hear from coaches at different universities? Maybe a little peek behind the curtain in terms of somebody that has opportunities to continue their athletic career at the next level. What's that experience been like, and maybe something you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, it's definitely the getting the whole format down of what you're going to send to a coach. I mean, it is kind of that copy and paste game and changing the coach's last name.
Make sure you change
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I forgot that a few times. But no, Coach Kramer's a great mentor with that. He knows his stuff. He's been to the coaching clinics, the recruiting clinics. And it really went both ways for me. I've reached out to some coaches. I went to some camps. Like, I went to the River Falls Mega Camp, and then maybe 2 days later got the offer from River Falls. But it's just sometimes they'll reach out to me, but Yeah, it's kind of 50-50 on that, but it's quite a journey.
One of the cool, you talk about River Falls. My daughter's a senior at River Falls, so I follow them a little bit in football, and we have some players playing over there at West Grads. One of the cool things about like playing in the WIAC is not only other kids from East as we move forward and kids from West and Everest, but throughout the entire conference. So you come together and you do the perimeter camp in the summer and you get to know some of these guys through football and other sports. But I was talking to Chad off the air, and River Falls and lacrosse played basically for the conference championship this last weekend, and the game went down to a field goal at the end. River Falls was kicking a field goal to tie it up to send it to overtime, actually not a very long field goal, and it was a guy named Jack Kelly, who was a standout for Spash 4 or 5 years ago, who blocked the field goal and basically secured the conference championship for lacrosse. So I think you can't go wrong if you choose a WIAC school for football or any of the D3 schools in the state of Wisconsin would be good choices.
Yep.
You get a chance, you know, as you said, to play three different sports. So obviously it's different feels, I think, probably during each season. But if you had maybe a favorite opponent, the games, whether it's on the hardwood here in the winter or on the baseball diamond in the spring or on the football field here this past fall, is there a favorite rival where you just know, you look at that schedule, you circle it when you see the schedule come out? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I think the answer that you guys are expecting is West, but
no expectations here.
I mean, for me personally, it's Bash. I know they always got good programs, and we want to beat them so bad and stuff we do. But I mean, no, they got good coaches over there, great programs, great athletes. But I mean, we always work our hardest, some of our hardest, knowing that Bash game is coming.
In addition to that, what are your relationships with the other athletes in your three sports, football, basketball, and baseball, what through camps and whether it's local camps or mega camps or things you do for baseball? I know, what do you play in the summer? Legion?
Right.
And that's a makeup of kids from different schools in our area. So what are your relationships like? Obviously you compete like crazy and you want to beat everybody you play every game, but are those relationships usually more after the game friendly, or is it, I want to kick your butt on the court and I don't got much time for you afterwards either? How do those types of things work?
Well, before, it's definitely, we know we're playing each other and it's, I want to kick your butt on the court or wherever we're playing. But after the game, it's all love. Especially those West kids that I play baseball with, football with, Jackson Albee comes to mind. But I mean, we're all friends after the game. I mean, we all go out there, compete, give our 100, but I always went to the back of the football handshake line because I always knew I'd be doing some extra stuff with some guys and, like, don't want to hold the line up. But, no, it's awesome.
And I guess, finally, something we always ask our student-athlete guests at the end is, especially the seniors, as we've kind of touched on it, I think, during the discussion, but based on everything you've learned, and if you have a kid at East who's a freshman or a sophomore that's just starting in one of the sports, you know, starting their journey within athletics at Wausau East, what piece of advice would you give, maybe, that you've learned over these last few years to that person that's just starting their journey?
I'd say just stick with it. Like, you're gonna go through some hard stuff. Obviously what we've went through probably won't happen to many other people, but I just stick with it. Stay in the gym, stay doing your drills. Like, I mean, it's going to be a long run, 4 years, and it's hearing those kids say it, like, from my freshman year, hearing those kids say it goes quick, I really believe them, because 4 years is 4 years, but it goes quick. Mm-hmm. Like, after that last football game, it was tough. Like, it was tough for the coaches, sure, the players, especially what East has been through, but no, I just stick with it. Like, keep doing it. Like, keep working hard. Keep your, like, teammates up. Build that brotherhood, and you should be good.
Very good. Anything else, Coach?
Just congratulations on a good season and best of luck this winter and this spring. Look forward to watching how you guys do.
Thank you.
That is Caden Wirth, again, Wausau East High School senior. Again, for all those young men who were part of the Wausau East High School football team this year, to come back, and if you're not familiar with the story of what Wausau East football has been going through in the recent years, the previous 2 years, the 2021 and 2022 seasons. In 2021, East did not have what they felt were the numbers and the experience to be able to compete in 11-player football in the Valley Football Association. So what East did in that season was decide to go play some eight-player football, and they did that. And then in 2022, they decided to again take a step back, but in a different way, that they decided that, again, they did not have the numbers to compete, again, in 11-player in the VFA. But instead of going eight-player, they decide, okay, we're going to focus on putting out a JV team, give the kids the opportunity to play at the JV level to be able to still learn what they want to accomplish in terms of their offense, their defense, and give some experience to hopefully be able to come back in 2023 as a full-fledged member of the VFA. And that's exactly what they did. And it worked out really well because, as I said in our discussion, at the start of the season, the big question is, would East be able to survive? They had not been able to do so prior to the last 2 years, even. I mean, in 2020 and 2019, they had issues where they were not able to complete their seasons. But not only did they complete their seasons, they were very competitive. They won games against Lakeland, a team that ultimately made the playoffs, and also against Appleton West, and they were competitive this season. They were able to do some good things. They had some talented players like Caden Worth and others on that team. So, again, you talk about adversity, overcoming adversity, learning life lessons. That's what those Wausau East football players did. So, again, just great congratulations to all of those players and coaches and everybody involved in East football. And for Caden Worth, obviously, as I said, a little bit of a short break between football and then basketball. And, of course, boys basketball practice begins next week. He'll be busy during the winter and then back at it in the spring again in high school baseball. So, again, what really great to be able to tell the stories of some of these youngsters, student athletes who do so much good work both in the classroom and on the field and outside the field as well. And make sure you tune in every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show here on Bow Falls Radio. We're going to find out what has happened this day in history. Some celebrity birthdays, have our number for the day, and more coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio. Keep that music up because I'm going to quiz the folks out there. Because one thing I have to admit, I'm a bit of a YouTube addict. And one of the things I enjoy doing on YouTube is watching old game shows. And this is Quincy Jones, and it's a song titled Chump Change. But it was also the theme song for a game show that occurred both in the 1970s, the 1974-1975, and then was brought back in 1989. Any idea? I'm going to throw it out to the listeners. I'm going to throw it out to Ian here. I think it's before your time, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, so. You were like born in like 93 or something like that. So
94.
Yeah. 94. So bring it down just a shade. I don't want Quincy overpowering my voice here, but again, it was an interesting show. It was called Now You See It. And basically, it was a board with all these letters. You know, basically, it's like four rows down and then 13 across. And there would be within that board names, and they would have questions. And you say, you would have to find the name in that board. And I enjoyed the show, and it was not really a hit either time. It was on for like a year in the 70s and then a year in the 80s. And Jack Nars, was the host in the 1970s. But one of the best part of the show was this song. I mean, nobody funks like Quincy Jones. So if you go to YouTube and have an opportunity to search, look for Now You See It, and you'll be able to hear this song as there are credits on the opening and during the course of the show as well. The date is November the 9th of 2023. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Among the events, Carl Sagan Day, the great astrologer. So it's a Carl Sagan Day. It is Go to an Art Museum Today Day. So Go to an Art Museum Today Day. It is Scrapple Day. Not Scrapple Day, but it's a Scrapple Day. I don't know what the heck does that mean. I have no idea what Scrapple Day is. It is Greek Yogurt Day. Are you familiar with Greek yogurt?
I've heard about it. I can't say I've actually had it yet.
Do you have any idea what it looks like? What color is it? Is it green or something? I have no idea. It's like Greek
yogurt. I think there's different flavors because I used to work in a supermarket and we did actually have the Greek yogurt. I think it's a white. I don't know exactly. It might depend on the brand, but I've never had it before.
Well, maybe today on Greek Yogurt Day, it's time to go to the store and get some Greek yogurt. It is World Quality Day. Some odd days today. I guess today is all about quality. World Quality Day. It's World Usability Day. What is going on here? And then it is World Freedom Day. I think we can understand that. So those are some of the special events being celebrated today. Some famous events that occurred on this date in history. 1888, Jack the Ripper killed Mary Jane Kelly. It was the last known victim of Jack the Ripper. On this date in 1961, Neil Armstrong. That was like 8 years before he became really famous, but in 1961, Neil Armstrong on this date recorded a world record speed in a rocket plane flying 4,092.9 miles per hour in an X-15. On this date in 1989, communist-controlled East Germany opened checkpoints in the Berlin Wall, allowing its citizens to travel to West Germany. People started demolishing the Berlin Wall. On this date in 2006, I saw this and I couldn't believe it's been this long. I remember when this happened, actually. It was 17 years ago today. CBS newsman Ed Bradley, he was one of the correspondents for many years on 60 Minutes. Ed Bradley died on this date in 2006 at age 65 in New York City. On this date in 2013, the USS Gerald R. Ford was christened by the U.S. Navy. The aircraft carried a cost of $15.5 billion and was technically the most advanced ship ever built. On this date in 2017, five women detailed sexual misconduct by comedian Louis C.K. in a New York Times report. And on this date in 2020, 3 years ago, 2020 became the busiest Atlantic hurricane season ever when Tropical Storm Theta was named the record 29th storm. Some famous folks who are celebrating their birthdays today, Lou Ferrigno. He was the Incredible Hulk on TV back in the late 1970s, co-starring with Bill Bixby. Also, he first became known as one of the folks that was focused on in the documentary movie back in the early to mid-1970s, Pumping Iron, as part of the bodybuilding culture. And Lou Ferrigno was part of that, and also a guy named Arnold Schwarzenegger. But Lou Ferrigno turning 72 years old today. TV producer Ryan Murphy of Glee, Nip Tuck, and American Horror Story is 58. Wrestler Chris Jericho. Are you a wrestling fan?
No, I'm not much.
I am not either, so I'm not familiar. I think the name kind of heard it, but Chris Jericho, wrestler, is 53 years old today. Actor Eric Dane of Grey's Anatomy is 51. Nick Lachey, singer from 98 Degrees, is 50 years old today. Vanessa Lachey of NCIS Hawaii and Love is Blind is 43 years old today. Emily Tyra of Cold Black turning 36. And Nikki Blonsky of Hairspray is 35 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And time for our number of the day. It's always, always difficult, but our number for the day today is 140,000.
140,000.
It has to do with foliage.
Oh, like plants?
Plants is part of it.
Okay.
And kinda. It's within, if you look outside and you see green stuff and, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I know this one.
Well, I'm going to give it to you. It is the species of trees, shrubs, and vines on the planet. So 140,000 species of trees, shrubs, and vines on the planet. So that's our number for the day, 140,000. Well, that's going to complete this Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Mike Clemens, talk Packers as they get set for their trip to Pittsburgh, and also our weekly Wisconsin sports segment with Paul Miklik as well. Coming up, it is As Goes Wisconsin after the news next on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.